The word today is experience. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Each of us have both pleasant and terrible things happen in our lives. And as we grow, we learn from these past events how to adjust and survive. Hear from our archives with a message that helps us learn from our experiences from a Christian point of view is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Experience.
One of the most important things that an individual can kind of guard against is that they don't learn from the past. In other words, to put it more positively, we should learn from the past. Our past experiences should teach us something. We ought to learn from them. Now, one of the things that I want to accomplish today is to just get you to realize that your past experiences are valuable and they teach us lessons. Probably they are the greatest teacher that we have in a true sense, because what we experience, if we learn from it, will be helpful to us in the future. Let's take a look at a couple biblical illustrations of this. We have the illustration in the Old Testament of Joseph. You remember, actually, things that happened to him could have made him bitter. He could have, for instance, wanted to retaliate against his brothers, you remember, after they sold him into slavery. Well, let's just kind of start with that experience. You recall that Joseph was kind of favored by his father. He had received a coat of many colors, and of course that made the other brothers jealous of him. I should point out, by the way, if there are parents listening, about the worst thing you can do to your child is to make them a favorite child, because automatically their siblings, their brothers and sisters will be jealous of them and hate them, in a sense, because they're getting so much favoritism. So the very person you're trying to favor and trying to treat well is going to end up bearing the brunt of that foolish activity. And this was the case for Joseph. He was simply trying to live his life, but his father had favored him, and as a result, his brothers more or less hated him. They were jealous of him. Maybe hate is too strong of a word, but after all, they did try to, they contemplated, they were going to try and kill him, and then they finally decided, well, let's throw him into this well here, a dry well, and then they waited until a caravan came along and sold him into slavery, so that he ended up in Egypt, you remember? What an experience that must have been, to see your brothers hate your guts and try to dispose of you and then get rid of you. And you recall that even when he was in Egypt, the experiences of Joseph, you recall Potiphar's wife, she was anxious to have an affair with Joseph. And Joseph knew that he better be obedient to God's word instead of being tempted by this ruler's wife. And of course, the wife was, I guess you would say, put off and very annoyed. She lied about the situation, got him thrown into prison. You recall how things then developed and how there was a famine in the land, and the brothers of Joseph ended up coming to Egypt to get some food. And you recall how, first of all, Joseph did not immediately identify himself. He made certain propositions with them. He wanted to see Benjamin, his youngest brother, and he had not come along. And you recall how he urged them to return back home and then bring their younger brother. You remember all the different things that went along there. We talked about that recently here on the air. Now, instead of Joseph having a bitter heart and wanting to retaliate against his brothers, he instead forgave them. And of course, if you read in the text here, what he says is, God meant it for me for good. You meant it for evil. You thought you were doing evil to me, but God meant it for good. God turned those things for my good. And you recall how then Joseph forgave his brothers and how he helped them and so on. This is a wonderful illustration of how the experience that he had had taught him, and he learned from it and improved his whole personality because of it. Or take another guy in the Old Testament, Solomon. Very famous guy. He was also the writer of Ecclesiastes. Solomon was an extremely wise man. And you recall how all of his experiences, well, in one sense you could say, even though he had built the temple, even though there were so many projects in his life that he had been successful at, he said, if you look at life with open eyes and you take a look at things, he said, as he wrote in Ecclesiastes, he said, life is really vanity. It's just one day after another, and unless you're learning from it, you're not going to be too happy with whatever the circumstances are. And in his notes, he wrote, fear God and keep his commandments. He said, if you want to know what's really worth learning, it's that you should be in awe of God and aware of his power and his might and be obedient to his commandments, live in the way that he wants you to live. So he gained from his experiences. You remember the parable of the prodigal son. The son that wanted all of his money, and then he got his inheritance. He left home. He lived a riotous life, an evil life. And, of course, he had plenty of friends in that lifestyle as long as his money held out. And you recall that at the end of things, after his money left out, he had no more money, he ended up feeding the pigs. I guess there's a lesson to be learned there from that experience. If you let go morally, in other words, just let yourself decline into a moral abyss, you're going to end up with the pigs. That's precisely exactly what happens. And yet he had learned his lesson from his experience. You recall that he repents. He comes to his common sense and he says, you know, if I returned home, I'd have things better than this. At least I'm going to try. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father, I don't deserve to be called your son anymore, but let me be like one of your hired hands. Let me at least have the privilege of living under your command or under your services here. Well, he learned from his evil experience and his poor judgment, and he repents and he returns. Hopefully that'll be the case from any negative experience you have, that you'll learn from it and you will grow and you'll become a better person. Now, Paul, St. Paul, when you think of his experiences, oh my, you know, the shipwrecks he had, the times that people tried to kill him by stoning him, all of the adversity that he had, all of the danger that he lived in, you know. And yet it's Paul that says, there are only three things that abide, faith, hope, and love. He was learning from these experiences. He knew that he could trust God. And actually, ultimately, that's the bottom line, that as you experience your life, you're going to find that certain people you trust are going to let you down. You're going to find that certain things that you think are very secure end up being insecure. You're going to find even friends that you thought were lifetime friends are going to leave you when things really get tough. And you're going to discover that there are many, many incidents in your life that are going to bring fear into your life. They're going to bring problems. They're going to bring danger. And unless you learn from them, unless you are able to benefit from them, and trust God more completely, just like Paul says here, ultimately you're left with three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, of course, is the love, is the certainty that God is with you and is going to take care of you. You know, you don't need faith once you get to heaven because you're there already. You have that. You don't need hope because it's been fulfilled. Love is the one constant thing that never stops. It is not only here in the presence of God among his people here on earth in the Christian church, but it is also a love that is eternal. It's heavenly. It's without end. It doesn't end. God's love is forever, and that's the basic thing we need to learn. Well, let's take a look at John. You know, there are several Johns we could be talking about. John the Baptist in the New Testament, all the experiences that he had. You can think of the Apostle John. You know, John in his writings says, the Apostle John, he that does the will of God abides forever. He's talking about eternal life there. And so his experiences were teachers to him. He learned through them. And you can take a look at all the apostles and the disciples. You can take a look at all the various people in the New Testament that had experiences. Now, not only the men. I seem to be mentioning only men here in this presentation. Certainly you can think of Mary and Martha. You can think of Sarah in the Old Testament. What a marvelous example she would be, you know, to any young woman today who's saying, well, how does God want a wife to be, or how does God want a woman to be? The experiences in our lives are going to teach us and train us. They're going to open our eyes to different possibilities. And if they're tough, if we want to refer to pruning as though God is pruning us, or if you talk about faceting a diamond, God prunes the grapevines in order that they'll produce more and be more fruitful. He cuts away at the diamond in order that it will be more brilliant and shine more brightly. And so even the experiences that we have that lead us through difficulties and temptations, like the case of Joseph, we end up on the other side being far better off for it. And that's what God has in mind. If we live every single day of our lives dependent on him, trusting in him, and knowing that he is walking with us, that he is present with us and will never leave us, that he's going to guard us, protect us, be with us, and bless us, and even turn our evil things into good so that we can learn from them and benefit from them, then we will really be wise people. We will be learning from our experiences, and our experiences will be great teachers. And so I hope as you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament and see all the experiences that these people have, believe me, they weren't all pleasant and wonderful and beautiful. They were many, many negative trials and temptations and evils and sometimes serious problems. And yet they confronted them, they dealt with them, they asked God's blessing upon them, and they learned from them. As a result, their experiences became excellent teachers for them, and their lives were better because of them. I hope you will take the experiences you have now, turn them over to God, ask his blessing, and you will learn from them and benefit.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.